following message is brought to you by Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We exist to bring glory to God by knowing Christ and making Him known. If you would like to visit our church, we hold multiple services on Sunday mornings, starting at 9 a.m. We are located between Motuka Wharf and Edai Town. Pickups are available 709-1000.
Morning. For today's scripture reading, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, begin in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee."
Welcome to 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me. And you might get 1 Timothy chapter 4 in one hand and Matthew chapter 6. You could just drop a piece of paper into Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in 1 Timothy 4 and we'll finish in Matthew 6. So if you want to go ahead and find Matthew 6 now, that would be fine. Save you the time of finding it later. I want to say thank you to Dad, who last week brought the message on the fruit of spiritual disciplines. Spiritual discipline is so very important for our lives, and I think that sometimes we look at it as I can take it or leave it, and yet that is not at all the case. If I could give us maybe some example from physical discipline, how it then overflows into spiritual discipline. Physical discipline, I think all of us see it and understand it. Spiritual discipline, sometimes we don't see it, so we don't understand it. And so from physical discipline, I know that there's a number of folks in our church that exercise, that are very careful about what they eat. We have a couple of bodybuilders among us. And if you don't know who they are, just come and see me later. I'll show you my hidden muscles. There are some things that I think we can take from physical discipline and see them in spiritual discipline as well. If you have a sedentary lifestyle, in other words, I think all of us understand this, if you sit back, drink alcohol, eat lamb flaps and cheap carbs, you will get overweight quickly, and most likely you'll be headed to an early death, heart attack, 45 years old. How many times we've seen that? The other side of the coin, flip that around, you're careful about what you eat, you say no to poi mafu and cream buns and all of those other sort of things. You say no to pizza at lunch every day with a Coke, and you exercise. Maybe, perhaps, that means that you have a desk job and you go and you exercise, or perhaps you work in a job that is causing exercise, something like construction. You will tend to live longer and be healthier. I think those are things that we all know, understand, and see on a regular basis. I'll give an example from my own life. Back in 2009, I was in Ukurumpa doing my in-country flight training. So I'd done a lot of training overseas, but then this was a chance to learn how to fly in PNG. And I had a guy that was my instructor. His name was Will Binning. Will was a fantastic guy, had been a bush pilot in Papua New Guinea for almost 35 years, something like that, had a heap of experience. You name the airstrip, he'd probably been there more than once. This guy had a heap of experience. He was 64 years old at that time. Now, I've not talked to Will in a long time, but that would put him somewhere north of 75 now. He had gray hair, and he was the sweetest, kindest, gentlest fella. He was a very good instructor. I really enjoyed being with him. One morning, I came out of my house at Ukurumpa. I came out of my house, walked out on the front porch, and I saw Will Benning. I did not know he did this. I saw him doing it that morning, and it caught me off guard. Here was a 64-year-old man in jogging shoes and jogging, funny-looking jogging shorts. You know what I'm talking about? Those funny-looking ones. And he was jogging up that hill, and I saw his shirt was soaking wet with sweat. Now, remember, Ayura Valley sits at 5,000 feet elevation. If you are running in Ayura Valley, you are going to be having a hard time to get any breath. So something told me in that moment, as I saw Will with his sweat and running up the hill, something told me that's not his first time doing this. Now, my first reaction was, I sure hope I'm not like that when I'm 64 years old. That was my immediate response. But then I thought about it, and I went, wait a second. I hope I am like that at 64 years old. I want to be able to run up the mountains. You realize that when we come to, and I'm going to bring this over to spiritual discipline in just a minute, but when we come to physical discipline, there's some things that happen. Here, I'll give you a couple of them. You don't get it all at one time. Look at Will running up that hill at 64. A normal 64-year-old with a sedentary lifestyle does not run up the hill, ever. And yet, there he is, just trucking his way up the hill. Another one. You don't always get to see the results. So that morning when he got up and he put his running shoes on and laced them up, and as he began to run up the hill, he got back to the house and he did not think, I'm sure he did not think, well, today I beat yesterday's time, so this is awesome. Some days he probably fell and scraped his knee. There were things that happen in your, perhaps if you lift weights, today you lift the same as you did yesterday. And you don't get to see a big result one day to the next. Another thing is sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. Becky and I, every day, Monday to Friday, we get up 5 a.m. We spend 30 minutes spiritual discipline, 30 minutes physical exercise. And there's some mornings when I wake up and I kind of look over at Becky and I'm like, you know, I just don't feel like doing it today. Now, on those days, she kicks me out of the bed. Just kidding. She's kind. But some days you just don't feel like doing it. And yet you need to continue on, and it will not get easier, it will get better. And so in physical discipline, yes, there's some of these things. You'll see them come over to our spiritual disciplines. You, in your spiritual disciplines, don't get it all at one time. Last week, Dad talked about the fruit of spiritual discipline. And there you are, going through your spiritual disciplines, and you don't get that fruit all at one time. But over time, it builds up. And there's sometimes when you don't feel like doing it. And then Paul would say, buffet your flesh. Tell your flesh, it doesn't matter. Let's get on with this, because there will be a positive result that comes about. And sometimes it takes weeks or months before you begin to see the results. But I can assure you that when you start seeing the results, you'll say it's been worth the time to put into it. Let's dive into our spiritual disciplines. As I look back to the early church, I think they outlined them well. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 outlines it very well for us. What the early church did, says there in Acts chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I see three very clear spiritual disciplines in that verse. The things that the church did early on, three very clear things. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2, there is no book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Thessalonians. It's not there yet. So what did they have? Instead of the Word of God, they had the apostles' teachings. And so for us today, we now have the apostles' teachings in the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Thessalonians. We hold that. That is our scripture reading, spiritual discipline reading. The middle one that they have, I'm going to actually put at the end. So let me take their last one and I'll put it in the middle. It's the one we're going to see next week, and it's in prayers. So scripture reading is God speaking to me. Prayer is me speaking to God, and He hears me. That's pretty awesome. So I get to hear what He has for me, and then He hears my prayers and my petitions back to Him. And then we see in the middle of this one is the breaking of bread. And that is what we call here faith family or covenant community. Getting to spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ. And brothers, please listen to this. No man is an island. God has not called any single one of us to trust Him and then pull off and do our own thing. Please don't ever think that you can do that, for you will shrivel and die, spiritually speaking. And so our spiritual disciplines are to be together in covenant community, faith family, drawing in one towards another, encouraging one another. And as I've often said in the past, perhaps you know this phrase, today while I'm in my right mind, I want to ask you so that someday, perhaps if I'm in my wrong mind, please don't leave me there. Come and get me and bring me back. We need one another. And so these are the three that I will follow for the next 3 weeks. Today we'll start with the Word of God. Let's spend our time together. So you're there already, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll concentrate on the Word of God today. As we come into 1 Timothy chapter 4, remember the Apostle Paul is writing this as a letter to Timothy, a son in the faith. I might even say a young preacher. And yet I think a lot of these principles that he gives to Timothy can then also apply to you and I as well. So we'll take some of these commands that he has here. You see in verse number 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Timothy, as you preach, make sure that you bring people to the Word of God, for it is the Word that will build them up in good doctrine. Now verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Earlier he in the book of 1 Timothy, he had explained that. We won't take the time to dive into it. Another way he explained it was endless genealogies. And how often we see that. People get very excited about, oh, and that one, he did this, and then that one. How many, have you ever seen that one lined up at the market? There's some guy standing there with a loudhailer, and he's got to have 17 pages of paper up here to show you that this one does that one does this one, and therefore we're all going to get rich. You ever seen that one? Paul would call that endless genealogies and wives' fables. The gospel is quite clear. I was apart from God in my sin, but God sent Jesus to pay for my sin and bring me back into relationship with Him. That's the gospel, and it's quite clear. Paul says, stay away from that other stuff, but instead, the end of verse 7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I would call that spiritual discipline. Exercise yourself to godliness. Now verse number 8. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Notice that it does say it profits, but not a lot. A little. And so physical exercise is good, but there's a greater one. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Do remember that if all you do is physical exercise, there's coming a day when they will lay your body in the grave. And all of the physical exercise that you've done has only amounted to this life. Spiritual discipline adds in this life and in the life to come. That's why he says spiritual discipline is so much better. Now verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What's the faithful saying? Oh, that spiritual exercise is good for this life and the next one. So in other words, he went, hang on a second, let me say it one more time. So I'll read verse 8 one more time, and then we'll continue on to verse 10. This is a faithful saying, verse 8. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that is to come. Now verse 10. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. And so he's telling Timothy, continue to teach these things to others. And verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Young people, please hear me well. If he said it to Timothy, it also applies to you. You do not get to use "I'm still young" as an excuse. Because if you're not setting forth spiritual disciplines in your youth, don't think that all of a sudden I get married and it'll click and I'll have it. No, no. Set these things in your life right now. Don't let someone use the excuse that, oh, he's still young, so he's just immature. No, instead, it should be the opposite. Let people see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, because of what you've done. And then they will look at you and say, can you believe he's already doing this or she's already doing that? And even though they're still young, let the youth be an added-on bonus, not an obstacle. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And he's going to give six things here. I'll walk through them quickly. Be an example of the believers in word, the way you speak. People should hear the way you speak. They should not have to question, I thought he was a believer. Be an example in the way you speak, in your word, in your conversation. That's the way you live. Let your lifestyle be an example of the believers. Be an example of the believers in charity. That's the way that you love others. And in the spirit, the way that you act towards others. And of the faith, the way that you believe, even during struggles. Young people, when things go wrong, what do you do? Something goes wrong, do you trust back to him or do you just run off into anger? You're running off into anger. You're not being an example of the believers. Instead, he says, in faith, and then also in purity. Be an example in purity, the way that you keep yourself clean from sin. Now, verse number 13, he gives a command. Hear the command very well. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to reading. Literally, grab the scriptures and read them. This goes to young people. This goes to moms and dads. It goes to everyone that is a believer. For where else will you hear the words of God? In case you might be mistaken on this, God's not popping out and giving dreams and visions anymore. He gave his completed word. There is no need to add anything else on top of it. There is no special revelation today. He gave us his word. We have the scriptures. The reformers fought hard for this about 500 years ago when they said, sola scriptura, only the scriptures. We don't add on something else and say, well, maybe I just had a dream last night, so maybe that dream means this for me. No. Line it up against the scriptures. If that dream doesn't line up with the scriptures, perhaps that dream came from somewhere else. It might do you well to come right to the scriptures and hold only to the scriptures. Give attendance to reading and then to exhortation. The exhortation comes out of the reading. So I read the word of God and he corrects me in the way I go. And then in doctrine. So I'm going to be rooted in the truth of God and I'm going to walk in the ways of God. For apart from the word of God, you will not grow. Please do not think that you can just come to church, drop 20 kina in the offering plate, and on the way out the door, somehow God's going to download all of the spiritual information into your head as you walk out. It doesn't work that way. Give attendance to reading. Let the word of God speak to your soul. The word of God is an endless treasure. It is unfathomable. Think of it like this. Some people might think of the Word of God as if it were a swimming pool. Oh no, it is more like the ocean. For you will never get to the edges of it as you dive down and explore. And the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that you can dive in today and go and find whatever it is you want to find. You can get it, you bring it back, and you go back tomorrow and there's plenty more of it. You can continue to dive into the Word of God. And may I encourage you, brothers and sisters, I'm saying these things. I'm going to get real practical with us today. I'm saying these things because I want your heart to swell as you think of God is going to talk to me. Oh, where else can I get that? Get it from His Word and only from His Word. So the Scriptures serve a purpose. Let me show you from the Bible how the Scriptures serve a purpose. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4 says this: whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God gave us the Word of God so that we can learn from Him, and from that we can have hope. You remember just a few weeks ago we talked about the biblical definition of hope. It is not like kids have hope that dad will come home from work on time so we can go to the nature park. No, this is our Heavenly Father made a promise, and we know that we can hold on to His promise, for He is the God who cannot lie. And so we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we get hope. Those things were written for us to learn of how wondrous He is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. Now all these things happened to them for ensamples. That's the Old Testament. They were there for examples, and they were written for our admonition, our warnings. You know why God put Nebuchadnezzar's story in the Bible? So that you and I would be very careful about lifting up ourselves. See that one as an example and let it be a warning for us. He didn't put it there so that we could think, oh, well, that's pretty awesome that he had Babylon. He put it there for our example. We can look back and see that, and we can also look back and go, wait, that's not the way to live. It's an admonition for you and I. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it is God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so God gives us His Word. It is inspired by God, and it comes to us for a reason. It's for our doctrine. We can root into it. It's for reproof, because there are times when you and I go astray and come off of the path that we're supposed to be on. We go off the road. That's reproof. Hey, stop going off the road. And then it's there for correction. Get back on the road. And then an instruction, stay on the right road. And so here's the Word of God is intended to help us. So brothers and sisters, please do not separate your spiritual life from your physical life. I see that happen all the time. Your life is not 6.5 days of physical and half a day of spiritual. That's not how it works. Please don't think, well, I come to church on Sunday for 3 hours, and if I'm super spiritual, I'll go to Bible study on Friday night, or I'll go to Faith Family on Wednesday night. That's not how it works. The spiritual directly impacts the physical. Here's what I mean. If you've got the spiritual right, it will flow out in everything else you do. Your life will be different. Your life will change because of the spiritual flowing out in you. If you are allowing God to control your life because of what you're hearing from Him in His Word, then during the day when a problem comes up, you're not going to resolve it by your own morality. Instead, you're going to come back to what God has done in your heart. So please don't disconnect these, brothers and sisters. This is your life. If you're a believer, old things are passed away. Behold, all things, not just your spirits, all things are become new. So your whole life is different because of what God's done in your heart. But then how's that going to change? I need Him to work in me. So we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So can I take a minute and just talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in this? So the Holy Spirit, God breathed. The Scripture is given by God. And so the Holy Spirit is working on the authors as they write. When Moses was writing, the Holy Spirit is working through him so that he will pen these words. This is a work of God on Moses, on Daniel, on David, on Moses, on John. And God's doing a work through these guys as they're writing. And it's the Holy Spirit that's working on them. Now, can I remind you what the Holy Spirit did at the very beginning of creation? You remember this verse, Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? In verse number 2, the Holy Spirit shows up. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now here's an image. God created the heaven and the earth, and it's without form, and the Holy Spirit is moving across. The Hebrew word, therefore, the Holy Spirit moving across the waters, the Hebrew word brings the idea of protection, like a mother hen does with her chicks. So here's the Holy Spirit over God's creation. The Holy Spirit is protecting, what the Son has just made. That's Colossians 1. God spoke it, Jesus created it, the Holy Spirit protected it. They work together. And here we have, in that picture, from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit protecting what God has created. Now, with your mind, please think of what God has done with you when you got saved. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you. That's Ephesians chapter 4. You got indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have been made a new creation by God. He has quickened you and made you alive. And guess what the Holy Spirit's now doing? Just like He did in Genesis 1-2, He's now doing that in your life now. The Holy Spirit is comforting and protecting you now. So that when you open the Word of God, the Holy Spirit who breathed the words to the authors is now opening your eyes so that you will grow in comfort. The same Holy Spirit that wrote it is the same Holy Spirit that's opening your eyes to read it. Why would you ever want to just close it and leave it on the shelf for next Sunday? Oh, this is God breathed. He's working in your life. And may we let that flow into us today. Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit, John 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me." And so if you're a believer today, you've got the Holy Spirit indwelt, and you open the Word of God, He's going to use it mightily to speak to your heart. I hope that you find the reading of the Word of God to be a delight. It should not be a duty. It should be a delight. If you were to ask a bodybuilder why it is that he goes to the gym and he lifts those weights, he'll tell you because he enjoys it. I don't know a single bodybuilder that says, "Well, I go and lift those weights because I need to." I don't think that's the way it works. They go, "I do it because I enjoy it. I enjoy pushing myself. I enjoy seeing the results of this." That's delight. If it was only duty, in other words, if I have to do this before I go to sleep tonight, it's going to fall off pretty quickly. But instead, if you come to the Word of God with delight, "God, I want to hear from You. I want to know You. I want You to speak to me." And the only way that He's going to speak to you is through His Word. Well, then come to His Word and let His Word speak to you. But let's be honest for just a few minutes. If I were to speak honestly this morning, I would say that probably, easily, 90% of us are not reading our Bibles. Easy. 90%. From time to time, I ask folks, "How are your spiritual disciplines?" We do this every year. First 3-4 weeks, we talk about spiritual disciplines. And every year, people talk about, "I'm going to do it." And they don't do it. It's not because they don't have their Bible. And most of the time, it's not because they don't know how to read. You may stop in Moresby City. You may silo read. I think it's because we found something else that might be of better interest to us. Maybe the Word of God bores you. I hope that's not the case. And yet, when I come and visit people in the hospital, it's almost 100% of the time when I come into the hospital, you know what I find under a pillow? A Bible. Help me with this disconnect here. 10% of us will read it on a regular basis. 100% of us will put a Bible under our pillow if we're in the hospital. Why is that? Now, I don't think it's because you saw me come in the car park and you were like, "I got to look spiritual for pastor. Hurry, get my Bible. I don't think that's it. And I hope it's not, maybe it is, but I hope it's not because you think that maybe it's going to be like some kind of special medicine and it's going to make you heal faster. I hope that's not the way you're thinking. I have a feeling that in actuality what's actually going on is some people are reevaluating. When you're in the hospital, you have perfect opportunity to reevaluate what's important in life. And you go, you know what? I should have been reading my Bible. I should have been spending time with God. Now God's got me on my back, and that's the only thing I can do. And I get my Now listen, you go to the hospital, read your Bible. Don't hear that as a condemnation. The condemnation is, why is it only 10% on the other side? If you were to think with me about a heart patient, after a heart patient has a heart attack and is laying in the hospital, that's not the time to eat lettuce and carrots. The time to eat lettuce and carrots was yesterday. Same way, brothers and sisters, don't wait until God puts you on your back for you to seek His face. The time to do it is yesterday. And if you're not already doing it yesterday, the second best time is now. Let His Word speak to you and come to His Word in delight. And so we've got a couple of plans that we'll have printed off in the front lobby. I've got two different plans, very simple plans. One is, I want to read my Bible in a year. If you've never done that before, may I encourage you to do the other plan. And here's the other plan. The other one will take you 3 years to get through your Bible. You read 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. It's not hard at all. Simple plan. And you've got it prints off on a single piece of A4, front and back. And you've got that for the whole year. One of the most beautiful things that I've seen in my life and Becky's life and our relationship, one of the most beautiful things is when I see a piece of paper, and many times I'll use the same one all year long and then use that same one again the second year. So tick mark one way and then tick mark the other way. And one of the most beautiful things that I've seen is that old worn out piece of paper that travels with us for years on end and ends up getting ticked every different way. And the next year it's a circle. And this is something that's been a blessing to our souls. I can tell you from experience, it will be a blessing to your soul. Please do not neglect the reading of the Word of God. Set a plan. Don't just read it. There's more to do than just reading. So you'll get reading and then meditating. So let's talk meditating for a minute. Meditating. Meditating is not a special word from yoga. I think they stole it from us. Meditating means that you sit down and you think about it. So, for example, you're reading along, and I used this example last year. I'll use it again now. You're reading along, and that's like you jumped in the dinghy and you started skimming across the top of the water. But then you found where you wanted to go. None of us get in the dinghy, at least I don't think you do, none of us get in the dinghy and just take off and just go somewhere mindlessly, and then you get out in the middle of the sea an hour later and turn around and come back. You go somewhere for a reason, right? You're reading for a reason. You're reading because you want to get somewhere. Phil's smiling under his mask. I can see it. You go somewhere for no reason, don't you? See, get in the dinghy and you're going somewhere. When you're reading your scripture, you're skimming across the top because you're looking for something. And maybe there's a reef and you've never been to that reef before and you pull up, drop anchor, jump over the side and dive down in. That's meditating. I'm going to dive down in. Do you realize that God has given us as human beings the ability to meditate? Think. Animals don't get that. Your dog does not meditate. He doesn't sit in the corner and say, they call me Spot. I really wish they'd call me Bruce. Dogs don't do that. They don't think about, they don't even think about the way food is prepared. They don't think about it. This last week, I gave a bone to my dog. I haven't done that in a long time. I gave a bone to my dog, and that dog took that bone, went to the corner, and he just was the happiest dog for hours on end chewing on that bone. Now, that dog, you know what he did not think? He did not get the bone, go over to the side, and just think, you know what? If Dad had put a little salt on this and a bit of lemon, this would have been even so much better. No, he is just a stupid dog. Does not meditate at all. But God has given us the ability to meditate, and you can meditate on anything. You can meditate on anything. You can meditate on the different parts of the brain and how one part does one thing and another part does another thing. I'll give you something to meditate on. This vaccine, we're supposed to get 6 billion vaccines, and yet they can only make 3 billion in a year. That's something to chew on for a little while. This, you can meditate on anything, and what better to meditate than on the Word of God? So you skim across the top in your reading, and you find something that you want to look at, dive down and have a look at it and meditate on it. Now let me give you something to think about here. The Scriptures call us to meditate. So this is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So this isn't I just skimmed across the top and checked it off. No, I'm letting the Word of God dwell in me, and it's going to draw wisdom into me, and I'm going to let it dwell richly. Here's another one. Joshua chapter 1, we saw this last week. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Again, spiritual affects the physical. I'm here in the morning with Christ, and I'm reading from the Word, and I'm going to meditate on this day and night. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You want to be a blessed man? You want to be a godly man? Meditate in the Word of God. Skim across the top. Read. Find something to chew on. Meditate on it. And let that sit in your heart and turn over throughout the day. You will be blessed. You will be changed. Your spiritual will affect your physical. And I'll give you an idea here with meditation. Perhaps you can write it down if you want to. Meditation gives depth to reading, and it gives cause to prayer. So I see meditation for me is the bridge between Scripture reading and prayer. It's the bridge. So what happens is I'm skimming along and I'm reading God's Word. And for me, my normal Bible reading plan right now, I'm reading, some days it's 4 chapters, some days it's 5 chapters. And as I'm reading along, I'm reading for something that I'm going to drop anchor on. And it might just be a chapter that says, so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. At that point, I'm kicking the 40 horse and trying to get 60 horses out of it as we skim across the top. Because that one, I don't get nothing. But I might come across something else that causes my heart to sing out, oh God, I just realized I've got sin in my life and you just exposed it in your Word right here. I need to pray. You see, meditation gives depth to our reading, but it gives cause to prayer. Or perhaps you might have read something that reminded you of the magnificence of God's glory and you'll pause and may I just praise your name in this moment. Or perhaps you might read something that shows out needs that others have, especially in the need for them to come to Christ. And you meditate that on, you pray for others. And so allow meditation to be part of your Scripture reading. And then third one, we have reading, we have meditating, and then thirdly, we have memorizing. Memorization will help with meditation. So if I'm memorizing a passage, let's say I come across the top, I'm skimming across the top, I drop anchor, I dive down, I'm meditating on it, and I see something that I want to take home with me. I take that, not reef, we don't ever take the coral out of the ground, or out of the sea, right? Not supposed to do that. Not supposed to take the sea turtles either, so leave them there. Maybe this one's a sea cucumber during the right season, right? I want to take this one home, whatever it is, I'm going to take it out, that's memorizing. I'm going to take this thing from the sea, I'm going to take it back with me, and I want this one to be with me. Because I want to look at it more later on. When I'm not just skimming across the top, I want to have this one with me at my house. This one's going to shape the way I live. Memorizing the Word of God. And some people would say you need to memorize the Word of God because there might come a day when you no longer have it. Okay, well, I'm just going to be honest. For probably the last couple of generations, none of us have had that problem where someone came and took our Bibles. It might, could happen. But there's a much better reason for us to memorize. Comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, that is everyday practical life. God, I'm going to hide your word. I'm going to memorize your word. I'm going to take it as it were from the sea and take it home with me. And this one's going to be bound on my right hand and on my forehead. And this is going to be my life. Because I don't want to sin against you. You see, the spiritual will impact your physical. Meditate, memorize. Don't just read. Let me have you come over to Matthew 6, and we'll finish up in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be here for a few minutes, so keep your seatbelt on. I'm going to take just a few minutes as we walk through this passage. Matthew chapter 6, as we close. Jesus in this passage is speaking to the people at the Mount. This is what is the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 6, he's already given the model prayer. And then in verses 19 and following, he's going to give us what I might say a dichotomy. There's two different ways of living, and he's going to outline them. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see this? You got two places you can go with your treasures. Either your treasure you can put on the earth and you can heap it up, but there's a problem with heaping up treasures on the earth. Moths will eat it if it's clothes. Thieves will break in and steal it if it's gold. So it's a problem with putting things, treasures on earth. The opposite would be, I'm going to put my treasure in heaven. I'm going to invest in learning more about God. I'm going to discover His Word. I can put Him as a priority, or I can put my physical needs as a priority. Now guys, I know what the pushback is. But pastor, 6.5 days of the week, I have to live my life. Don't let that be an excuse. For the Heavenly Father knows all about that. We'll see it in just a minute. Come down to verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Again, two ways to live. I live serving God, building my bank account, getting a nicer house, a better car, investing in me. Or I serve God, and me serving God is going to be completely different. In me serving myself, I will take shortcuts and I will push people down and I will do whatever it takes because mammon, money, is my God. And on the other one, God is my God. And I'm going to use that idol to worship this God. So I'm going to do everything I can to lift up Him. So brothers and sisters, if you are allowing the spiritual to lead you, the physical will fall in place. But if you go after the physical, the spiritual is your enemy. Suddenly Sunday morning coming to church, if the physical is everything for you, suddenly coming to church on Sunday is an obstacle to the rest of your life. Suddenly if me getting up and going to work and clocking in on time and making sure that I've got everything in order, getting up just a little bit earlier and reading my Bible is going to be an obstacle. And suddenly that God becomes an enemy if mammon is my God. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll despise the one and hold to the other. You get to choose which one. As he continues on, look at verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now remember that phrase. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Oh, what a powerful statement Jesus just made. He said, stop worrying about it. Take no thought. Stop worrying about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to sleep. Stop thinking about it. You go, well, wait a minute. 6.5 days of my week is consumed with that. And Jesus just said, stop it. No man can serve two masters. And our mindset is that I can give God 3 hours on Sunday morning and I run the rest of it. That's not normal Christian life. That's not the way that Jesus has called us. You say, but I have to eat, right? Yes, you do. You do have to eat. Remember that our Heavenly Father is a good Father. And He never, when we come and ask for, this is Jesus' words, when you come as a child and ask Him for a fish, He will not give you a scorpion. And when you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone. Those are the words that Jesus used. Instead, He knows you have the need of this. He gives a couple of examples there. We won't read them, but verse 26 to 29, He gives a couple of examples. One of them is the birds. He says, have a look at the birds. And they don't think about which barn am I going to build this year. And they don't think about where's my food coming from tomorrow. And yet, God still takes care of them. And he goes, oh, by the way, are you not worth a whole lot more than the birds? Answer, yes. And then he goes to another example in verse 27. If you sat around and thought about it, can you make yourself taller? Now, I know a lot of you wish you could. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't help to worry about it. So think about that for just a second. If he's a good father and he's going to take care of you, why would you stop serving him and start serving something for yourself that he was already going to provide? 28 and 29, he says, think about those lilies that are in the field. Every year, about this time, Port Moresby comes alive. And by alive, I mean the opposite of dead and on fire. And you see flowers and you see plants like you've never seen for a whole year. In fact, it's been so long, some of us thought that it's never going to rain again. And those flowers start to grow again. And you look at those flowers and he says, hey, have a moment and think about, remember Solomon and his temple and how beautiful that temple was? And Solomon in all of his robes and the ways that he surrounded himself with beauty. He says, do you realize that a single flower out in the field that grew on its own, nobody planted it, nobody weeded the garden around it. It came up on its own and it's beautiful. It's more beautiful than everything that Solomon ever built for his whole life. And Solomon worked for that one. He wrote books about how he worked for that one. And on the other side, here's God going, there's a flower. And that one beats the other one. So take those for just a minute and bring them into now verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall you eat or what shall you drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said it again. That's twice he said it in this passage. Stop worrying about your food, your drink, your clothes, your rent. Stop worrying about that stuff. Because that's what the Gentiles seek after. Lost people do that. God is not their God. Mammon is their God. So then what should we do if we're not going to think about it? And by the way, brothers and sisters, you need to feed your family. So how's that happen? Verse 32, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The good heavenly Father knows exactly what it is that you need. So then how do I do this? Verse 33, you might know this verse, and I hope that it'll help your life today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek him first, and then he'll take care of those things. You don't serve both of them. It's not 3 hours on Sunday and the rest of the week is mine to go serve God, go serve mammon. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to seek him first, and all these things will be added unto you. He doesn't give out scorpions and stones. He will take care of his children. Take no thought, verse 34, for the morrow. Three times he said, stop worrying. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the world will tell you, your flesh will tell you, and the devil will tell you, seek your own, you need to eat, you need to feed your children, you need a place to sleep. And Jesus says, stop that, seek me, come after me first. Seek first the kingdom of God. So there is no excuse this morning. There is no excuse for any of us to say, well, I'm just too busy to read. No excuse. The only excuse or only response that's right and in line with Scripture is one that says, today I chose to serve mammon instead of my Heavenly Father. I'll close with a practical thought. How do you do this? Grab a plan and don't start it tomorrow morning. If you wait until tomorrow morning to start reading, you're not going to do it because you didn't do it this morning. It's not a habit. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you say, I'm going to start it tomorrow morning. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you know what's going to happen? You're too tired. You know when you start it? Tonight. Here's a life habit. Becky and I, and perhaps I'll share it. This isn't gospel. I know many times in the past I've said, find a place in your day. But we're still at 10%. Put it in your morning. And here's how you get your morning. Protect your evening. Protect your evening. Don't go to bed, and I don't have it with me, don't go to bed with your phone. There are scientific studies that say your phone puts off blue light that awakens the brain. And you're trying to figure out how to go to sleep, and you're sitting there reading the news, seeing who's doing what on social media. Your brain is cued in to constantly continue to flip through Instagram, Facebook, social media, because you want to know something new that somebody else is doing. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. Put the phone off. Put it to do not disturb. My phone automatically goes to, at 8 p.m., automatically goes to do disturb on its own. You know why? Because I want to protect tomorrow morning. So that tomorrow morning I can get up. Now, guys, I wish I could tell you, I got it whipped and I'm lifting hundreds of kilos in this. But I can tell you I'm a lot further along than 10%. Reading through my Bible this year? Absolutely. Going to do it. Already know I'm going to do it. You know why? Because I did it last year. And the year before, and the year before. We're at about 18 years now of doing this. And so I already know it's going to happen. But guys, can I encourage you? Put the phone off tonight. Go to bed at a godly time. Don't go to bed at 11. You say, but Pastor, I only need 4 hours of sleep. Lies, lies, lies. You need a lot more. Be nice to yourself. Go to bed at a decent hour tonight. Put your phone off. Lay down. So that tomorrow morning, you can get up in the morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Father, I pray that you would help us. God, we sometimes feel like other things can become so important for us. And yet you've just made it so clear for us. We are commanded to give attention to reading the Word of God. Where else will we hear from you? And so, God, I pray that you would help us to see the importance, that we will see that it serves a purpose. And you've called us to meditate, and I pray that we would just dive in, take moments of our time and dive in, memorize and allow that Word of God to sink into our hearts and become a bridge that draws us into prayer. And Lord, I pray that we would not set such a low priority on your Word that we would allow something as simple as sleep to take its place. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to set good patterns in our lives. We love you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Matt Allen of Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We would love to have you join us for service if you are in the area. If you need help with transportation, please give us a call on 709-1000. Again, it's 709-1000.